I have this the headphones on one ear, and Oscar's over there talking. I keep hearing him.
How you've been thriloquist?
Throw that. Better to throw that voice than to throw something else.
Welcome to Flipping Off, a purpose-driven podcast about flipping houses and making a difference.
Wow. All right. Hey, welcome back. This is Oscar Solaris, and I've got the crew back from last podcast with me. I've got Dr. Iverson over here dabbing. That's what it's called, right? Dabbing?
Is that what that's called?
Is that what it's called?
I'm like, what the hell is that?
It was viral like 2 years ago.
You know, it's all good. I've seen a picture of you doing that, actually. So I know it's a thing. I know it's a thing. So Dr. Iverson is joining us again. I've got Tim Wilkinson, Frank the Tank Luna, and Christian Rios, as well as Kevin hanging out with us and the crew. So we're going to pick it up. So last time we talked about action and taking action and what that looks like and how to break through some of those things, right, to allow us to continue to take action. But Christian, we were talking about how you structure yourself and you have a plan, and Frank touched on that as well, about the planning that it takes to actually do things and have those small wins. So today what I'd like to do is just really get into this whole goal setting thing, right, that people struggle so much with. People think that setting a goal is sometimes nightmarish, right? It's kind of really scary sometimes for people. So I'll let you open it up, Dr. Iverson.
Cool. Yeah, so SMART goals, and introduce myself again for those of you tuning in. I'm Dr. Nathan Iverson. I direct a grad program at California Baptist University in industrial organizational psychology, and I do consulting through Momentum Coaching and Consulting. So we've been working the past few months here with New Wealth, helping to bring New Wealth to the next level to be global world-class leaders. So on the topic of goal setting, there's a lot of research, and there's this incredible article that's titled An Odyssey. It's like a 30-year odyssey in goal setting, and it compiles all the research on how do we set the most powerful goals. And it turns out goals are the ticket to motivating ourselves. Hmm. It's like that's the psychology trick. If you want to motivate yourself, it's set a SMART goal. Hmm. And we've talked a lot about SMART goals, so it's an acronym. Specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. So when we set a goal like, hey, you know, people set New Year's goals, and they're maybe like, I want to lose 30 pounds. Well, great. What does that mean? But to break it up into your day, kind of like Christian was sharing last episode, was put it on your calendar. If you want to actually commit to something, time's our most valuable resource. So then put, okay, 8 to 9 a.m. every day, I'm going to be working out. And then for myself, I know, okay, I'm not getting up at that time or like whatever, 6 a.m. to make it to the gym. So I'm either going to have to put some more pain to get out of bed, or I'm going to have to put it later in the day and restructure things so that it works for me. Sometimes we need little extra triggers to help us get in the room to make it specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time bound.
Yeah, I remember being in corporate America and talking to my employees and asking them to set up, you know, what do you want to do this year, right? What do you want to achieve this year? And it was I had better odds of having a gorilla talk to me than these guys saying anything or putting anything on paper that they wanted to achieve. It was the weirdest dynamic, right? And they're like smart people because IT background guys and right? But when it came to setting goals, couldn't get them to do it. Wow. It's just they couldn't even think what that would look like and so forth. So, and now that's all we do, right? Is we talk about setting goals and all that. So, Tim, I know you've done some of this stuff, right? Is setting goals and putting a plan together and so forth.
Yeah. Is there a different question there?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to see the reaction first.
I'm like, yeah, I set my goal to be in this room.
Winning.
Killing it. Nailed it, right? No, where I'm going with it, though, is that, you've done that. But I know that, like me, you've struggled with doing that as well, right?
Yeah.
So how do you break through to get to the point of saying, I'm going to set these goals now and actually put them down on paper and move forward with that?
You know, one of the things that I always struggle with is, it's interesting you mentioned that you were in the IT department and all these smart IT people, they have a hard time setting goals. And I feel like I can identify with that because at the end of the day, if you ask me what I want, like, it's really, really hard for me to dial in, like, what do I really, really want? So that is a huge challenge for me, as far as just wanting things, I guess. But at the end of the day, I think when I really look at it, I struggle with doing it right. Like, for me, it has to be done right. So, for instance, I was meeting with somebody the other day, and their whole conversation was, I want to they're setting smart goals around door knocking and how many they're going to hit, and they're stuck exactly where I get stuck, which is, how many is too many, you know? And I think what I came to on mine is, when I first start, I just have to pick numbers, right? I got to say, you know what, I'm going to door knock 50 doors this week, and I'm going to do it. And then I have to not beat myself up when that ends up not being totally okay. Because what stops me is being fearful of setting something I'm not going to hit. And I think I took a lot from Dr. Iverson when he brings up gold, bronze, or gold, silver, bronze goals. Because for me, I tend to overshoot, and then if I'm not going to hit it, I'll stop.
I was the same way. Yeah, and I have to credit one of my mentors, Dr. Joey Collins, on that, up in Seattle, where I did my PhD. For me, it was on my dissertation. I would hustle, and then I wouldn't hit it. Mm. And I'd stop for 2 months and get in my head and be like, I'm a failure, all these things, you know? And finally, I flew up to Seattle and said, Joey, I need help. And so he walked me through, and we sat down in his backyard and put on the Google Calendar. He just coached me through. He's a professional coach. He does coaching with, like, Fortune 500s, with Ford and GMC. So Joey Collins then said, okay, you want to do, and I tend to, you know, set hard goals. I enjoy achieving. So I set these hard goals of, like, in 1 month I'll have this big section done. And he's like, okay, how realistic is that? Is that a gold, silver, bronze goal? And I had to say, that's a gold goal. He's like, what would be a silver goal? Okay, 2 weeks later. Hmm. What's your bronze goal? 2 weeks later. So then for me, I rarely honestly hit my gold goal. And I'd have a goal per section of my dissertation every 20 pages. And I rarely hit that gold goal, but I'd get a ton done in between the, like, gold and silver, and silver and bronze. Because for me, it's really motivating to be on the medal stand. Mm. I did a triathlon with my mentor, Joey, and we race and we love being on that medal stand. So I'm like, okay, I'll stay up through the night if I have to be on the medal stand. I may not get a gold, but I better get an award.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That helps expand the definition of a success. That we're not a failure if we don't get it done on Tuesday. Like, that's kind of ridiculous if you think about it. But if you get it done in the next month, that's still incredible. So expanding that definition, like flattening it out, pulling it out, can be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Christian, what made you so effective in setting your goals? What did it take? Is there something that triggered that for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. Honestly, for me, it was being around the club and having the mentorship of Dave. Every year, close to November time, I would sit down with Dave and I would say, hey, these are going to be my next year's goals. What do you think?
Wow.
I would outline it, and he would say, okay, well, tell me more about this. How are you gonna do this? And he's like, be more specific, and pretty much smart goals. So I got really, like, really clear on actual goal setting. And for me, I do a lot of my goals. I start thinking about them in October, November, and I put them on paper the last 2 weeks of December. And I get really excited about the following year. So for me, I get excited in, like, the last quarter, because I'm thinking about, you know, 2020. And I first think of what I want to achieve. Like, by December 31st, like, what – if that's financial, if that's amount of deals closed, I want to just throw that out there. And then from the conversation of the last podcast, how do I take little bites out of the elephant and really dissect it? So I don't know if it was ingrained in me, or just having the right mentorship where, you know, pushing me and giving me the right guidance to be able to put that in paper. And I know I've done research and I can't think of the actual numbers, but when you actually put it down on paper and when you just, like, verbally say it, there's a huge difference. I don't know if you can
public commitment. Yeah. So there's a few different things that are, like, the the fertilizer, you know, Miracle-Gro on goal setting. Feedback is one that we talked about last episode. And another is public commitment, public declaration. Mm. So in our RPP weekends, that's why it's like share your goals publicly. Mm. If you want to do something audacious, like really bold and crazy, tell everyone. Because then it's like, it's not awesome if you change your mind.
Yeah.
So Frankie, you're a little quiet, man. What's going on?
Oh, I was listening. That's really great. Yeah, the gold, silver, bronze, I definitely have set goals. And then, oh, man, I'm not going to make those goals. I got to adjust them. I got to lower them. And, you know, I didn't have, like, a degree of, you know, like what percentage of that goal, if I make, what does that mean? You know, I had never approached it from that way. Hmm. All I did was look at it and go, all right, reevaluate what am I not doing to reach those goals that I set and try to increase activity. It can be frustrating, but you know, at the end of the day, I still had goals every year. And you know, sometimes I there's years I exceeded my goals, and there's times where I was just way short for, or don't even, I would say it had something to do with the getting into it and going, I'm not even going to make the goals. Hmm. You know.
Yeah, you know, there's a dynamic that happens with people, right, where we're really quick and it's real easy for us to just shoot ourselves. Like, right, when, yeah. I'm a failure, I'm exactly. not going to do it, yep. I'm never going to reach that goal, mm-hmm. I don't even know why, I was dumb enough to put it down on paper,
yeah.
all that stuff, right? And we have a really bad tendency to not celebrate the milestones yeah. that it takes to yes. get to those goals. And so what is that, though? Why are we like that?
I don't know the why offhand, but so I spent a significant amount of time this last couple of years going to Mexico. And part of it is living in Southern California. It's my first time being like an ethnic minority in my neighborhood, and I love it. grew up in South Dakota and spent time in Canada and Seattle. So I'm like, I got to learn Latin culture because that's California, basically. Mm-hmm. And I know there's in Mexico, it's a cultura de fiestas. Mm. Right? They celebrate everything. It's like someone's half birthday. I'll write fiesta for the community, you know? Someone's baptism. Doesn't matter. Quinceañera of some second cousin. Whole community comes together. And there's churches down there I've been a part of, too, that they, Mosaic in Mexico City, this cultura de fiestas, they eat it up. And they celebrate everything. So I think there's a lot to learn from that, from certain cultures that really love celebrating. How can we celebrate these small things? Like, someone just finished their first week. They got their 100 failures. Hmm. Let's celebrate that. Let's throw them a party. Hmm. Well, you know, just to reframe. What is it? Okay, so, and the person when they close their first deal. Let's invite them over. Have a cultura de fiestas hmm. right there. So I think some of it is making, just to say it simply, making life awesome. Waking up today and saying, what if today was a 10 out of 10? What if today was amazing? What would that look like? What if my life was flipping awesome? What does that look like? And for me, it's going to be a cultura de fiestas. If my life is flipping awesome, I want to celebrate everything.
Mm. Nice. Okay, so I guess we can take that, right, and do something with that. Because I agree with you that we don't celebrate people enough. Mm. And it's just, I guess what you're really saying is just make it a point.
Yeah.
Right? Make it part of the agenda, the plan that, and condition people to celebrate the small wins,
yeah.
right? Because every transaction has because we talk about, hey, we're going to go do dinner, and it starts that way, right? Mm-hmm. Close the transaction, we're going to go do dinner, we're going to go do this, we're going to hang out here, and it goes away. And then you're moving into the next thing, right? And so you never really got it.
I love that. You guys are a crazy dedicated group of people. You've been very successful in real estate. And so maybe that's an area of growth is, okay, we make, you got all do very well financially. The next step is to put that same energy towards the culture of fiestas.
Mm. Got that, Kevin? Yes, that's amigo.
I mean, you guys are good at it. Like, I think your culture celebrates already. Now it's just taking that. What if New Wealth is like known for like, they celebrate everything?
Every day is a party.
You already attract incredible people. That's next level.
Yeah, yeah. Tim?
I was just thinking, it reminds me of, you know, we'll have a student that I'm working with, and, you know, they've been around for a month, and they're, like, frustrated, down on themselves. They haven't seen a deal yet. And I'm thinking, just 30 days ago, I had to drag you out of the car. Like, I couldn't get, like, you didn't even want to go to the door, and now you're going to the door on your own. You're having great conversations. And it's one of those things that, as a leadership, we don't celebrate that publicly enough. You know, because we'll have that conversation one-on-one with a student, mm-hmm. That, you know, and get and reframe it for them. But based on what you just said, Dr. Iverson, I think that it's really probably a good idea for us to start celebrating those little things. Like, hey, you've been here a month and you've had 20 doors slammed mm-hmm. in your face. Yeehaw. I mean, that's getting you one step closer.
You're that much closer, yeah.
Hi, this is Christian Rios. As many of you know, I have been a member of New Wealth Advisors Club for over 7 years and got started when I was 17 years old with absolutely no real estate experience. One of the biggest lessons I have learned from being in the industry is the need for authentic relationships. If you're looking for an actual team locally in Southern California with all the resources needed to close deals, register for one of our free workshops by visiting www.joinnwac.com. Thanks for listening to the Flippin' Off podcast.
Yeah, and we do a good job of educating, right? We do a great job of educating and pouring into people and caring for them. All that caring, feeding that goes on around here, it's like, man. So just side note, I guess, that's the difference between New Wealth Advisors Club and Podcast 78, where we were talking about all the other ones, right, is none of them have the ability nor the desire to really pour into people and really genuinely care for their club members or for their students, whatever you want to call them, right? If there's any magic to this thing, it's we are a group of people that actually care and give and pour in, sometimes to like a crazy amount.
Yeah.
Right. And it feels overwhelming. And I know for the last 5 weeks we've been like nonstop. We went from RPP to DP to class to RPP in Hawaii to class to RPP.
And to DPA in Hawaii.
Yeah, DPA, yeah,
so class in Hawaii. Yeah.
Right, so it's like nonstop. So hence the reason that we're always on the go.
Yes, yes.
But I think it's good to step back a little bit, and because it's all action. Mm-hmm. And we have goals that we're hitting, right? We're striving for those goals. We're hitting.
Yeah.
But we need to also...
And I think for ourselves in like long-term abundance, right? Like long-term personal wealth, like inside our hearts and, you know, physical. That's what it takes. If you want, I look, you know, Justin Bieber has this tattoo that it says hashtag better at 70. Mm. And I love that. And Chad Veach has that as well. I love that. And there's this mindset of, okay, maybe I like messed up this today, maybe this year, maybe the last 5 years are kind of crap. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be better at 70. We're going to kill it. Mm. And for me, if I want to like look back when I'm 70 and say, that was awesome, I'm going to look back and like, that was a cultura de fiestas. I had the best friends around me. We did incredible things. We changed the world. We brought world-class organizations and world-class leaders. Mm. And we had a crazy good time.
Mm. Mine has to say better in 85. I need more time.
Yeah.
70 is too close. Just saying, just telling it like it is. Because Kevin looked at me as soon as you said better at 70. He's like, time is running out, buddy.
He looked at his watch.
He's like, whoo, yeah. So, good. So, let's go back, talk about a little bit about what does it take to really make goals SMART, right? To apply the acronym of SMART to goals.
Well, if you guys are open to it, I'd love to do like real-time coaching. That'd be kind of fun. Does someone want to throw out a goal that they, and it'd take a little vulnerability because I know you guys are already good at this. A goal you haven't thought about yet, that you're aware, I have to unpack this a little bit. I have to make it a little bit more SMART.
Hmm. Any takers?
Hmm. I did just recently work on my goals because I went through the mentorship. And my goals have not really changed much in the last 5 years as far as income-wise, as far as what it takes to get there and the planning, I think it needs a big shift, a big tweak. But I don't know what that. I don't even know where to start with that. I mean, I have a number.
Okay.
And
so you don't have to share your income, but we could say, how much do you want to raise your income by? If you're comfortable sharing that?
I wanted to increase it. I think it was like don't know, maybe like 20% or something like
Perfect.
That.
By when?
Within a year.
Okay. So specific, right?
Yeah.
We need is this December 31 you want to reach 20% over 2019 tax year? Or over 2018 tax year?
Yes.
Cool.
Okay.
All right.
So, and
so then there's probably an amount, you know, you have in your head the thousands of dollars that you need to close that you're still need to, you have, it's, you know, basically end of August, kind of written off. So then you have 4 months left.
Mm-hmm.
So to get that 20%, probably need that income divided by 5% per each of those. So then you can break it up of, for math's sake, we can say $5,000 you need each of the 4 months more than usual.
Mm-hmm.
If you had not done, you know, if you suppose the previous months were just kind of at par.
Right.
So then if you break it up and say, I need $5,000 more each month, then you break it up by week and say, okay, I need more or less $1,000 more a week. Mm-hmm. And if you go to deals, you can look at the data actually of your teammates and say how much you're actually making on average per deal.
Yep.
A lot of these guys, you know, they're making $20,000-$30,000 on a deal. So that means you actually just need one deal by the end of the year.
Yeah. I think we just talked about the goals as far as number of leads, conversations with homeowners, and those conversations result. They have different results. Sometimes they're not
totally
always wanting to sell their house.
Yep.
So we're talking about contracts and then how many of those contracts closed. And if I'm honest, I've never ever tracked that.
Yeah,
I have never ever. I've definitely tracked like door knocking, but I've never put onto paper the amount of door knocks. I know you have,
mm-hmm.
But I kind of struggle with that. I don't know what it is. I feel like I get into the activity of this door and I do it, but I struggle in the counting.
Yeah,
I don't know what.
So that is multiple, true. There's multiple ways to count it. It could be hours. Or it could be knocks,
okay.
Whatever it is. And then something for me, because I know, you know, Frankie is also a very social person. So for me, I'm not as motivated to count it by myself. But if I can make it like a thing I do with my friends and it's it lets my extroversion to come out a little bit. So then what I do is on Google spreadsheets, I share some of my goals with friends. So you could share it with people that you know, like, they're going to call me out if I don't do this.
Yeah.
And then you give them, you know, shared view on a Google Excel. And you track it per week, hours put in or doors knocked.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, something in my head, because we're having homeowner conversations,
yeah.
We're talking to people. I feel really, it feels really incongruent with me putting a number on that person.
Mm-hmm.
It just does. I feel okay with saying for these hours I'm doing this activity
sure.
And checking that box. But for me to actually number somebody, it feels very, it almost like, it feels like I'm treating them like a dollar sign.
So then do what's life-giving for you. There's nothing wrong with counting hours instead of people. No. So maybe it's amount of hours. And you need so many hundred hours on average. If you say, hey, friends, if you do your math, how many hours of door knocking does it take to get a deal? Maybe it's 200 hours or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would actually serve me a lot better because to measure the hours means that you can't procrastinate because you can't make up those hours. If you're
in your phone playing Tetris, you don't get to count those.
if I have a number that I'm looking to reach,
or chess.
How many hours of Tetris until I get a deal?
or chess,
whatever game.
I don't think that's a thing. I don't think I don't think that works.
Oh, that doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. Because if I think about it, if you have a goal of a number of 30,
yeah, sure,
like
30 hours,
you can crunch. No, people. Like
people.
If you're actually
sure.
saying that, you can crunch 30. But you can't crunch the hours, so
no.
I think that works a lot better for me. That if I'm dedicating 20 hours towards something, I have to schedule those hours every single day.
Exactly,
and I can't make them up. That feels like I'll have more results versus okay, there's a number I'm supposed to have 30 conversations. I'll do 30 on Friday.
Yeah, and there's no way to cut corners then on hours.
Right. I think that would work a lot better for me than just putting a number on. And again, I don't like numbering people.
And I appreciate too, because otherwise, imagine if you put numbers on people, then it's going to rush you. And that doesn't allow you to live out your values of having intentional conversations. Maybe someone just needs like an hour to talk about whatever stuff is going down in their life that equips you, because that hour counts no matter how you spend it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Because when I tracked the first conversation Rebecca and I had was, well, in order to replace the income, what does that look like?
Yeah.
So we were a little aggressive on the number and said, well, and it wasn't an amount. It was, I need to have 4 net new contracts per month.
Yeah.
Net new, right? So, okay, so how do we do that?
Awesome.
And then back into that. And then it was developing that plan and setting the weekly goals of, I need to be at this many doors every week. Then it was tracking the number of meaningful conversations, not the, you know, bypass type stuff, but the meaningful conversations where we actually got into, maybe it was trial stuff, right, that they're going through. Maybe it was just pouring back into them and doing those things. But that's really the value, right? Because that's, you know, Tim has a thing, he always says, what value do I bring to this person, to this transaction, to these people, whatever, this group, whatever it is. So when you start looking at it from that perspective, which is I think where you're at, Frank, when you start looking at it from that perspective, then, yeah, it's not about the money. It's about how many people can I serve and how, and when am I going to do that consistently? Because right? the biggest detriment in this business is lack of consistency, right? You guys agree? When you're not consistent, it all falls apart. So,
and we don't want to set goals that are incongruent with our values. That goes against what we were talking about earlier, making life awesome, right? We want to set goals that make life more awesome, not less awesome.
And then going back with what you were saying with the fiestas.
Yeah.
When is that when is that celebration?
Yes.
Right? Set that as a milestone within your goal of, hey, when I reach this number of conversations, I'm
going to— I'm inviting the crew over.
Right. We're going to hang out and whatever, right? Or I'm going to go watch this movie or whatever it is. Just something that rewards you for—
Love it.
I made it. I got to that point. And then the next celebration. And then the next celebration. So.
Yeah. I don't know when you were talking, and I know Christian does that. Like there's a specific day where you don't do anything. You just spend with your family. And, and I've always intended to do that. It's always turned into one night or a moment. But I
An hour.
Right. So I did, I think yours is, yours is Thursday?
Thursdays and Fridays, yeah, typically.
Okay.
Yeah, so, take a bounce.
I did pick a day for that to, like, you know, unplug and focus on my relationship with my wife. And I've only picked one. I don't have two. It seems like we always have something on the weekend.
Yeah.
But I picked it during the week, too. So
yeah.
I think that's important.
One of my mentors also says, Harold Russ is his name. He says, don't rest from your work, work from your rest. And I realize it's just a little bit of a shift.
Yeah.
But then it means like you're not going into the weekend exhausted. Like what does it look like to rest and then look forward to, kind of like Christian does in December. You know, what if we do that same mindset on whenever our day is to rest?
Gotcha.
Man, you guys are making me feel like I need to revamp my life. Right? Let's see, did I take time off?
Yeah.
No, I haven't in 5-6 weeks. So.
Just
so I took hours off. But.
Yeah, me and Christian, we're going to have a date. We're going to have a date night, just me and him.
It's getting weird.
But you're still smiling.
Yeah, I just wanted to record that so to make sure it happens. We've been talking about it for years.
Oh, good stuff. Anything else you want to share on the on goal setting? Anything that like that magic bullet stuff for people?
Yeah, one last kind of magic bullet is the most motivating goals are those that we have a 50% chance of failing at.
Man, that's like completely flips things around.
Yeah. That's why we talk about stretch goals. So set your gold goal. Make sure it's actually a gold goal. Like it's awesome that you have a 50% chance of failing at. Yeah. So for me, even if it's like hiking a mountain, I'm like, what's a mountain I may not make it to the top of? And I get so excited.
Yeah, no mountains for me. Bad knees. I can't set that as a goal. So you said, make sure I'm understanding, the one that I have a 50% chance of not achieving achieving, right?
Right. Huh. And then that raises your, you know, for the club, you launched in Hawaii. What's a number of, you know, 10 more launches that it's a 50% chance of failing at?
That sounds about right. 10, 12.
That's a fun thing to motivate people around.
That's right there with when my wife and I got married. It's never going to work. Shit. Watch this. Here we are 34 years later, right?
Yes.
Now we're still like... You have seen it, but hey, it's all good. It still works. But it's, it is, you're right. It is a bit of I won't say it's a motivator, but it's definitely something that lights a fire, right? Mm-hmm. When somebody tells you, you're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. You're never going to make that.
Yeah.
Right? Because now it's like, oh, I'm going to spite the out of you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. Tim, you got something?
Maybe. One of the things that I was hearing these guys say, and I think it's back to something that Dr. Iverson talked about, is the writing it down. You know, I think it's in that book by Cialdini that says, you know, once you write something down in your own handwriting, it's harder to forget that you said you were going to do it.
Yeah.
Or forget what you meant when you said it.
Yeah.
So writing it down and actually pen to paper, actually, you know, I used to have a mentor, Mike, who always talked to me about writing it down, and I'm horrible about writing it down. And, he always told me, just write it down. There's something about writing it down. So I did that and I've been doing that. And then all of a sudden I talked to Dr. Iverson and he tells me the science behind that.
So now it's even better for you, right?
That's totally better for me. Now I get it.
So you have what are they? Well, there's a bromance and there's a geek man. Is that what it was? Geeking out on the science of it all. So
yes, yes.
Cool, Christian. You got anything else?
Nope. You're dry. That was a great podcast.
It was absolutely. So, Dr. Iverson, appreciate your time, man. And pleasure. I know we're going to continue to be working with you and doing things. And for those of you that are going to come out and take a look at us and what we do, those are existing members. You're going to see a bit more of Dr. Iverson around. He's starting to teach some segments, or a segment at least, over the course of the training weekend. So there's a lot of good things that are happening. There's a lot of momentum.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
Which, is, ironically enough, or maybe not so much, aligns with the name of his consulting firm. So let's just keep the momentum going, set some really, really game-breaking goals. And let's take this to the next level for everybody.
Let's do it.
Nice. All right.
Level up.
Thanks, everyone. Appreciate you all. Let's flip on out of here. I think I'm hungry, actually. So
starving.
It's about that time. All right, guys.
Peace.
Bye.
I'm Melina Boswell, your host of the Flippin' Off podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we'd love for you to subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and tell your friends all about us. You can find more episodes of the Flippin' Off podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever else you like to listen to awesome podcasts like this. If you like what you've heard, we'd really appreciate it if you'd follow us on Facebook and Instagram and tell us the stories that you'd like to hear. Tim Jackson is our senior producer. Luke Jackson is our editor. Brothers. Josh Maldine is our producer. Sound design by Frequency Factory. Our executive producer is Mind and Mill. This was all created by Dave Boswell for New Wealth Advisors Club.